Morning, everyone, and happy Easter to you. I hope everyone is having a great Easter weekend. Thank you for being here today on such an important day. Of course, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, but we do set aside this one particular Sunday each year to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So happy Easter to you and to your family, and we're so grateful for your presence. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's going to be our text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We said it earlier, I want to say it again, and I hope you will respond. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's read these scripture passages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, He also appeared to me. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We believe it is truth. We believe it is breathed of You, given to us, Your words, inspired of You, Father. So we receive Your Word today with confidence. We respond to it in obedience. And we pray, God, that through our study today, we will have a greater handle on what we believe, that we would have a greater depth of commitment expressed to You, and that we would leave this place changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So may Your Holy Spirit teach us, convict us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question today. What is most important to you? What are the important things in your life? For a lot of us, we of course, build our lives around what we consider to be important. We spend our resources. We give our energy, our time to the things we value most. So for a lot of people in this world, and perhaps many of us today, when we get off track in our thinking, we base our lives on the idea that it's important that we climb the ladder in our careers. We base our lives on trying to have more money or having more pleasure in life. We invest what we have in things that we think will make us happy, and buying cars and clothes and the like, and never really coming to grips with the reality of what we know, and that's all that stuff's going to go away, right? It's not going to make us happy. In the end of all that stuff is just a desire for more stuff because it never really satisfies, and all of it eventually goes away, doesn't it? I was thinking about this recently. We had some clothes bagged up that Sarah, my high school daughter, was no longer wearing. Claiming they didn't fit. I think it's because they were so last season, right? She had to have new clothes. But they were bagged up, ready to give away. And we told a person who was at our home recently that they could take these clothes and give them to the daughter in the home. And so she took the clothes, and unbeknownst to us, next to the big black trash bags full of clothes was a very large basket filled with all of Sarah's good clothes, including some she had just bought on spring break, all of her school clothes folded nicely, her best clothes in that basket, and away they went with those garbage bags. Parenting 101, just for you parents of young kids in the room, don't give away your kids' clothes. That's not a good thing. So the next day at school, she had last year's school clothes, and her ankles were showing all that. I mean, it just didn't work out too well. So trying to be a compassionate father, I told Cindy, go out, buy Sarah some new clothes, we're going to make it right. And they made their way to Tallahassee and came back with several bags full of clothes. She really needed jeans. Several pair of jeans were lost in this whole deal, and she didn't have anything to wear to school. So they come back with bathing suits. So I don't know how that played out, but I feel like as horrified as she was over what happened, I was horrified when they came back, spent a bunch of money, and didn't buy anything she really needed. But it's a reminder that stuff in life goes away. We feel like it's important, we feel like it's valuable, we chase after these things in life, but in the end, all of it goes away. We give it away, it wears out, we throw it away, all of it falls short. The things of this world pass away, and never bring real fulfillment and happiness in life. Paul talks about where purpose is really found, what to build your life on. And that's what I hope you'll discover today, what you need to build your life on. Because a lot of us are running through life and we're just chasing after the same old stuff as everyone else. We know deep down it's never going to bring satisfaction, but we keep chasing, we keep longing, we keep pursuing, and we never grab hold of it, and it never makes us happy. So today, what can we do to find real purpose, lasting purpose, life-changing purpose? Paul talks about where purpose is found. Verse 3 points out this is what is most important. And when someone says that, especially in the Bible, we need to sit up and listen and pay attention, because we're going to find out today the most important thing in life, in our existence. And Paul's unpacking that here in this passage, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because without the resurrection, there's no purpose, there's no hope, there's no meaning, there's no belief that one day everything's going to be okay. Because right now, many of us may have our struggles, we have our difficulties, we're going through tough times, and without the resurrection, that's just all there is in life. It's just going to end one day, and that's the end of all of it. There's no hope for a better life, but through the resurrection, we have this crucial understanding of the true meaning and purpose of life. It becomes our basis for hope. It's the most important thing for you to understand today. Why? Because of two reasons I want to give you. Number one, the resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. The resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. Now, some people really struggle with the idea of someone miraculously coming back from the dead. Maybe that's you today. But deep down, if you're honest, and maybe you wouldn't tell your spouse, you would never tell your parents, but deep down, you struggle with the claims of Christianity, that there is one who died and 3 days later came back to life. You have a hard time with the miracle of the resurrection. Now, we're going to talk about some thoughts about that, some of the evidences for the resurrection. We're not going to get real deep in that today. We've had sermons in the past. We'll have sermons in the future that tackle that very subject. But what I want you to see today is that a denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to deny the resurrection, is building your faith on a faulty foundation. It's a house of cards. It's going to come crumbling down, because the resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. Listen to Paul's continuing argument here as we pick up in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Paul's whole argument here is that the Christian faith does not exist without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the most important thing in all of history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As Paul affirmed, this single event is of greater importance than any other event in human history. Now, put on your thinking cap and go back to your history classes in your mind and think about what were the most monumental, biggest, most transformational events or occurrences in all of human history. Someone might put forward the Revolutionary War or the fall of communism, the Berlin Wall. Some would say maybe it's the Allied victory in World War II that spared the world from tyranny. Others would put forward it was the printing press that changed the world because ideas were put forth. Or in our modern age, maybe the internet, because it's transformed all of our society. But you name any event or anything, it pales in comparison to the resurrection, because every event, everything is meaningless if there is no resurrection. Because if there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. Christianity stands or falls on whether or not the resurrection is true. Because if there's no resurrection, all of this is a farce. I came into 11 o'clock church and put on a tie for no reason. I could have been in my jeans. I could have been out playing golf. I could have been doing anything but this, because this isn't important at all without the resurrection. It's a joke. It's a sham. We are to be pitied among all men. People should look at us if there's no resurrection and say, those are the craziest people ever. They go every Sunday and gather together and do this whole exercise they call worship because they falsely believe that there is a person who's risen from the dead. Paul says we're to be pitied among all men more than anyone. This is why we believe in the resurrection is crucial. It's foundational to Christianity. And there are several things I want to point out about the resurrection today. We believe the resurrection was an actual resurrection. It's been put forward by some who try to wrestle with the claims of Christ, and they can't deal with the idea of a miraculous resurrection, that Jesus just faked his death. He was on the cross, and after some hours, he just kind of slumped himself over, and he swooned. He pretended that he died so they would take him down, and he could come back from supposedly the dead, when in actuality he didn't die at all. And some people have put that forward, that he just pretended to be dead on the cross. But there are a lot of issues with that as we look at the account of Scripture. First of all, the Roman soldiers in Mark chapter 15, John chapter 19, they thought, they believed, they saw that Jesus was dead. Now, these were expert executioners. They were not going to be fooled by someone just pretending to be dead when they were being executed. They knew when a person was dead, and they testified to such in the Scriptures. Added to that, the women went to the tomb, and they expected there that Jesus would be in the grave in Mark chapter 16. When Christ was on the cross, they thrust that spear into his side, and the blood and water flowed from that open wound. The disciples, when they encountered the risen Lord, it was clear they were not expecting Jesus to just pretend to be dead and come back, but instead they were blown away. They were amazed that Christ was before them. And when he came back to them, he wasn't a man who had been nailed to a cross and suffered so much that he just fainted and pretended his death, and then he just wobbled out in excruciating pain and just stumbled into their presence as someone who was nearly dead. No, he came as a mighty conqueror over death into their presence. Jesus declared of himself that he was dead and now he's alive forevermore. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. The apostle John was having this encounter with Christ, and he says, when I saw Christ, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. It was an actual resurrection because Jesus died upon the cross. The second thing I want us to note is that we believe in a bodily resurrection. Again, because some people have a hard time with the miraculous that God could pull this off and bring Christ back from the dead, what we find are some who claim that it was a spiritual manifestation of Christ, but not his actual physical presence. But again, the evidence of Scripture. Luke chapter 24 says, Jesus declared himself after the resurrection to have flesh and bones. Matthew 28, the women who met him that resurrection morning grabbed a hold of his feet. Going back to Luke 24, Jesus sat down with his disciples and he ate with them. Jesus was seen by the disciples in Luke 24 to have the imprint of the nails upon his body. And even before his death, Jesus prophesied that he would come back from the dead. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, it says this, for as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. A bodily, physical resurrection. Number three, I want to point out, it was a unique resurrection. In Scripture, we read of people who were raised from the dead. You've read those accounts before, how God, in a miraculous way, brought people back to life. Well, their resurrection was much different than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were raised from the dead would eventually die again, right? But not so with Jesus. I recall my last pastor, when I was in Quitman, we had a man in our church named Leroy. Mr. Leroy was a fine, older gentleman, great guy, great sense of humor. And one Sunday, I stood up to preach, and I had my Bible in hand, and I started reading the passage, and I heard a lot of commotion behind me in the choir loft as people were calling my name and trying to get my attention. As I turned and looked, they were pointing out in Mr. Leroy's direction. As I looked out, Mr. Leroy was slumped over in his pew, and he died right there in church. His heart stopped. They had to lay him out on the floor. We had to dismiss the congregation, and a couple of nurses and medical professionals who were present performed CPR. Mr. Leroy came back to life. He was resuscitated from the dead. It was really just this incredible, surreal experience. He said his favorite part of it was being brought back by those cute nurses who did CPR. That was his favorite part. But when someone dies when you're preaching, your preacher buddies pick on you. So I started getting calls like, "Hey, Marty, you're really knocking them dead in Quitman with your preaching, aren't you?" But I wasn't preaching. I was reading the text. It wasn't my sermon. As a matter of fact, Mr. Leroy, by the way, you can joke when someone dies if they come back to life. It's okay to laugh about the situation. If you really died, we wouldn't be joking. But anyway, Mr. Leroy told everyone, he said, "You know, I did it on purpose." He said, "I saw Marty stand up and open his Bible, and I realized at that moment he had not prepared a sermon. So I died so he could get out of it and he could prepare for next time." But Mr. Leroy, as great a guy as he was, and as much as he meant to me, and the incredible experience we went through with all of that, he died again. He's in heaven with the Lord today. People who were raised to life or even resuscitated to life all die again, but not Jesus. Jesus is alive, and he's alive forevermore, so the church proclaims in that traditional fashion, say it with me, "He is risen. He is risen indeed. He's risen from the dead, and he is Lord." The resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. Number two, the resurrection is essential for your salvation. It is the focal point and central component to our salvation. The resurrection is to our salvation as the heart is to the body. The heart that pumps life-giving blood to every part of the body. In the same way, the truth of the resurrection gives life to every other area of our faith. See, the resurrection shows that God accepts the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. Through this event, the resurrection, God vindicated Jesus' life, his teachings, and death. Since there's no way God would have raised a heretic from the dead, Jesus died for our sins, and that sacrifice was sufficient and acceptable to God, and therefore he's risen from the dead because he is truly Lord. His sacrifice, his resurrection, it paid the price for our sins, and that is revealed in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he was delivered up for our trespasses, our sins, and he was raised for our justification. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the Father's stamp of approval on every aspect of the Son's ministry, his life, his pronouncement that every teaching of the Son is true and validated. Teachings like John chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though he dies, will live." Because of the resurrection, we know that that verse is true, stated from our Lord. And that verse is true, that if we believe in the one who is the resurrection and the life, we too shall be resurrected unto eternal life. We know the words of John 14, 6 are true. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." The claims that Jesus made about himself, that he is God in the flesh, that he is the sacrifice for our sins, that he is the only way to eternal life, these claims are all affirmed by God raising him from the dead. You see, the resurrection makes a way for our own resurrection, making this one event essential for our salvation. Because if Jesus is in a grave somewhere, if he died and never came back to life, we have no hope for eternal life, no purpose, no hope in this life. Paul said in verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins." I like the story shared by a Canadian scientist many years ago named Jimmy Hardy. He said this, "In search for a religion, I only ask two questions. Question number one, has anybody conquered death? Question number two, did he make a way for me to do it?" He said, "I searched the religions of the world. I found Buddha's tomb occupied, Muhammad's tomb occupied, and so forth and so on. I came to Jesus' tomb, and it was empty. And I opened the New Testament and he said, because I live, you shall live also. And Hardy said, my quest was over. Because understanding the truth of the resurrection is the beginning to finding purpose in life. It is the most important aspect of life because it is essential to finding eternal life. In other words, the resurrection is more important than anything else in your life. Any other pursuit, any other thing you involve yourself in, any other passion you have in life, all of it pales in comparison to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how you respond to the resurrected Lord has profound implications on your life because it is the central factor to your eternal salvation. Now, Jesus did not rise from the dead. He was just some unlucky guy who was executed. But if he did rise from the dead, then everything in our lives needs to change. Because if he is truly risen from the dead, if this miracle of the gospel narrative is true, it shows that he is God in the flesh. It proves his words is true, that he is the only way for our eternal salvation. It proves true that we are to give our lives to him, to take up our cross, leave our own lives behind, and follow after him. Christ is resurrected from the dead. It requires a radical transformation in our lives. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, he is Lord, and he should be your Lord today. Your priorities should be rearranged in life, and his story needs to become your story. His life laid down, now your life laid down. Him being Lord, you giving your life to him as Lord. Today, your life can have life-giving purpose. You can live differently than the rest of the world is just chasing after empty promises and pleasures that never bring any satisfaction in the end. Today, you can find purpose in finding what is most important. Paul said, I give to you what is most important, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. I hope today you will choose to believe the resurrection is true. And if you believe the resurrection is true, it means you need to give your life to him. Today we declare, he is risen indeed. Let's say it together once more. He is risen indeed. It is the most important event in all of recorded history. And the resurrection needs to be the most important part of your history, your life. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I hope you will choose to do so today, to receive the claims of Christ and to believe them with all your heart. Would you bow with me for prayer? I want you to know your life can change today if you'll trust Jesus Christ. As we bow our heads and connect with the Lord, would you pray a simple prayer like this if you need to receive him as your Lord and Savior? If today you're believing the resurrection to be true and giving your life to Jesus Christ, would you pray a prayer like this one? Father, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus died for my sin, and I believe he is the risen Lord. I give my life to him and make him my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. That's your prayer today. I hope you will make it known. I would love to talk with you about your decision to receive Christ. In just a moment, Jeremiah is going to lead us in one last song, and I'm going to stand in the front and wait for you. If you pray to receive Christ, I want to ask you to do something, to step out from where you are and make your way forward and meet me here at the front and say, Marty, I prayed that prayer. I want to encourage you in your new faith. I want to help you to understand how to take next steps and how to grow closer to the Lord. I'm going to talk to you about the importance of being baptized and what it means to be a member of a church. So today I hope you will have the courage and boldness to take a step forward for Jesus Christ, understanding that he's the one who went all the way to the cross for you. Certainly, you can walk all the way to the front for him. I'll wait to receive you. You come in just a moment. If you need to become a member of this church family, or you need to make a further commitment to Christ, we're here to encourage you and counsel with you. As we sing, you make your way forward. We'd love to receive you and help you today in whatever God is leading you to do. Father, speak to our hearts now and help us as we make these commitments to you. Help us, Lord, to boldly surrender our lives to you, believing the resurrection is true and understanding that we are to build our faith on this essential component of our salvation, how the resurrection changes everything and leads us to radical devotion to Jesus Christ. So, Lord, speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's speaking to your heart. Don't delay. You come now. Let's share that time together.